Word on Business
with Forvis Mazars, global financial services expertise across audit, tax, outsourcing and advisory. Visit forvismazars.ie.
Now we're joined by Ian Guider from the Business Post. Ian, how are you keeping?
Evening, Will.
We'll have a chat about the government plans for exporters, about markets following the introduction of the US tariffs in a moment, which we were kind of touching on the news with Ellen a minute ago. But tell me about the property developer, Paddy McKillen. He's won a massive settlement in a dispute with Qatar over the revamp of some hotels in London.
He most certainly has, at least according to the Sunday Times. He has won somewhere in the region of between £700 million to £800 million. So that would be at least €800 million. And all of this goes back to the redevelopment and refurbishment of three luxury hotels in London, Claridge's, the Connaught and the Barclay. Paddy McKillen had owned them at one stage, but he had sold out to the Qataris, a Qatari investment fund, about a decade ago. But they kept him on because these hotels had been a labour of love for Paddy McKillen, who was a well-known property developer, and they reached an agreement with him, the new owners, the Qatari Investment Fund, and said that if you revamp these hotels, turn them from five-star luxury into international global luxury hotels, something truly unique, we'll give you a portion of the revaluation of these hotels at the end of the refurbishment. So Paddy McKillen set about it for a number of years and did as he was asked and turned these hotels into something truly spectacular. And he said, well, based on the value of the work I've done, based on the contract that we have signed, you should have paid me about £1 billion. The Qataris denied this, saying that while you have done them up to quite a high standard, the increase in the value is not as high as what Paddy McKillen had said. And this triggered a very long legal dispute, but one that also turned very bitter between Paddy McKillen and the Qataris. There's been an awful lot written and said about this over the years, particularly in the London newspapers. But today, well, yesterday, according to the Sunday Times, the arbitration hearing that held a inquiry into this found in Paddy McKillen's favour and said he had done the work that was required and decided that the money he would get would be much higher than what the Qataris wanted to pay. Not quite as high as what that £1 billion Paddy McKillen wanted, but still a substantial sum of money between £700 million and £800 million. So that is quite the payday for Paddy McKillen. And I think if it is confirmed, it will also be the end of, as I said, a very, very bitter legal dispute that has gone on for about a decade now at this stage.
It's very costly for the Qataris in the grand scheme of things, but I'm just thinking when it comes to Sheikh bin Yassim's investment here. So these hotels were bought for around $1.3 billion, and when the arbitration was going around, they were being valued somewhere in the kind of $4 billion to $4.3 billion range. So even taking, say, $700 to $800 million and whatever the legal costs might be, these hotels are still worth a lot more than what they paid for them.
They are, and it's a reflection that these are absolutely the highest levels of luxury in London, and what Paddy McKillen has done to them is truly superb. I've actually been in the Barclay in the last couple of years when I was in London once, and they are something spectacular. You'll see all sorts of foreign royalty, you'll see all sorts of business people, celebrities, who will pay thousands of pounds per night to stay in these hotels. They have been transformed into something absolutely spectacular, and that is down to Paddy McKillen's hard work. And look, the Qataris, when they went shopping in London a few years ago, they can afford to buy an awful lot of things, all of these trophy assets they bought. But I think the fact is that this dispute was getting very, very personal. And I think bringing it to a conclusion, particularly after the last number of years, there's been a lot written about this. It's been the subject of chapters in books. It's been part of the London media wars for a long time now. So I think Paddy McKillen, while he may not feel that he's gotten the figure he wants, he's certainly done well out of this. And it will actually, I think, for all sides, take the heat out of the battle.
We played a clip on the news of the Minister of Enterprise, Peter Burke, just a few minutes ago. He was talking about these new grants that the government are putting in place. He was talking about, you know, the negative impact there has been on businesses. So what supports are the government putting in place for those who have been affected by these US tariffs then?
Yeah, I'll run through some of the details in it. So what will happen if you're a company out there, you are exporting to the United States and that's no longer viable, but you're thinking of other markets, other countries around the world, well, you can apply for a €35,000 grant from Enterprise Ireland. That will allow you to say, well, is there another market out there? Can I hire some advisors using this money to try and do some studies as to whether it's worth my while exporting to another country? And if you find using that money there is, well, there's a further €150,000 to you towards going about that. So if you're somebody that would have gone and sold your goods to the United States, but you think you might be able to do it to Canada, you will get this money available. You're going to get extra support from Enterprise Ireland. They're going to open new offices around the world in potential new countries where Irish people can send their goods. Unfortunately, Will, I don't think what was announced today by the government, and there were some other things in there, such as potentially trying to find new air routes to countries so that people can travel on business directly. I don't think this is what the business community wanted, because when the US announced these tariffs of 15%, what you heard from the likes of IBEC and the Small Firms Association and ISME was they wanted direct cash grants to make up for the losses lots of these companies were going to suffer. I don't think the government were ever going to do that. I think what they have tried to do is say, we'll help companies affected as much as possible. We'll look around countries like Europe, like Eastern Europe and Germany in particular. We don't sell as much to Germany, a market of 80 million people that we should. India is another huge market. South Korea, again, a huge population. Are they going to be interested in Irish companies exporting there? Enterprise Ireland and the government will help. There'll be trade missions, so ministers going to these countries with Irish businesses to try and help make up for that gap in the US market. I just don't think that's what the business community want right now. They want to see what happened back in COVID-19 or in the energy crisis after the invasion of Ukraine, that there would be huge amounts of money being made available to companies out there. And I just don't think the government want to go down that route once again.
Yeah, a very quick one for Sutton just before we finish. Hashtag ad, hashtag collab, hashtag whatever is required for influencers who've been selling content on their own accounts. It looks like there's going to be more of a crackdown around this, Ian.
There is, because the Advertising Standards Authority and the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission have signed an agreement whereby people who complain to the Advertising Standards Authority that social media influencers don't put the required and legally required content, this is paid content, sponsored content, partnerships, collaborations, whatever it is, people that don't do it, well, the Advertising Standards Authority will now share those complaints with the Consumer and Protection Commission, and they can do quite a lot. They can ensure that people comply with this by saying that you will have to change your post to make sure that it is an ad. They can issue fixed penalties. They can also go down the route, if people don't comply and don't consistently flout these rules, of either prohibiting people from doing this in the first place or even take prosecutions. And we have even seen it today that the celebrity chef Donald Skean was told by the CCPC to change one of his social media posts to make it clear that it actually was an ad, something he was promoting more recently. I think there is still a view out there by some influencers that they can get away with this, that this is only guidance. These are the rules, and you can clearly see now the authority want to make sure that people know that your favourite influencer isn't doing this because they love it. It's because they're getting a freebie.
Yeah. All right. Many thanks to Ian Guider for joining us on The Last Word in Business.
The Last Word on Today FM.